ding ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Good morning and welcome to the NBA Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. And it's over. Laker season. It's done. They are missing the playoffs. I am actually in Phoenix, was at the game, and I am scarred for life. And to talk about it with me is Mo DeKeel. He writes Bleacher Report. He talks for the Athletic. Mo, what the hell was that?
I mean, it's what it's been all season. It's not been anything different for the Lakers. Like, you know, they tried. I'll give them credit. They really tried. And then the Suns
they
were just
did try for a minute.
And then the Suns, towards the end of the second quarter, decided, like, all right, we're done playing with our food. Let's just end this. And it just became a farce after that. Like, there wasn't much else we could talk about. And that's been the Lakers season, really. You know, we could talk about the injuries and things like that. But there were a lot of questions of the pairing of Russell Westbrook with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, the roster construction as a whole, everything that they've done. It's not a surprise. None of this is shocking. It is a little bit, but like in a sense of like, as we saw the season go, which is bad.
I mean, we're so used to it at this point, but this team was just so listless in the second half of this game. And meanwhile, you have Devin Booker. He had four shots in a row in the middle of the third quarter as the mountain just piled onto them. I mean, you know, the Lakers were up in the first, 15, 16 minutes of this game, maybe 18 minutes of this game. And then by the middle of the third quarter, it was a 22-point blowout. It's just amazing how quickly it flipped. And Los Angeles they didn't look like they knew what they were supposed to be doing out there a lot of the time.
It's not that they didn't know. They just felt like it was over. The guy that was playing the hardest was Austin Reeves. That was it. You know, after that, it was pretty much all over. Once they got down big, you never felt like they were really going to make a comeback or anything like that in a game that, I mean, they basically needed to win every game to close out. And, you know, they just couldn't get it done. And I don't have anything else to say, Jared. This has been one of the worst teams to watch all season with just how they've played and everything like that. And it just tells you, just throwing names together doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen.
I mean, this is honestly one of the worst teams I've ever seen, ever, relative to the expectation. I mean, I think I had them as the team that was going to make the finals in the West, honestly, just because I didn't know who the hell to pick. But they seemed like they certainly had a chance with the talent they had on board. And like, we know they had injury issues, but they are just they're a dumpster fire. They really are. And it was sad to see how much of a whimper they went out with. You really thought that they would rally and they would fight to the end. But this is what it was like the entire season. It was just like, it was just dramatically underwhelming all year. So that means the San Antonio Spurs are in the play-in. And they knew, the Lakers knew by halftime, that the Spurs were winning that game. They were beating Denver, and so they had to win it. And they still came out and laid that dud. But the Spurs, they're going to be in either the 9 or 10, but New Orleans, they're in the 9 right now. Clippers in the 8, Minnesota in the 7. Denver Nuggets, they're in the 6 right now because they're half a game back of Utah, who pulled off a win in overtime over the Memphis Grizzlies. This was a really fun one.
Yeah, I mean, this was a great game. It goes to overtime. Jaren Jackson with two huge threes down the stretch. And, I mean, Jared, Donovan Mitchell misses a couple of free throws that could have put the game away. And out of a timeout, they go for a three. Desmond Bane misses. Kyle Anderson fights with Royce O'Neal to get the offensive rebound and put back to force the game to overtime. It was really kind of fun to just watch down the stretch. And then in overtime, the Utah Jazz kind of just got collectively going there a little bit, and Rudy Gobert with a big putback and one for the Jazz, and kind of just helped put the game away.
Yeah, nice floater by Donovan Mitchell halfway through overtime to give them that lead. But the Kyle Anderson play, that was awesome. It's funny, the commentator said that Royce O'Neal didn't box him out. I don't know, it felt like Royce O'Neal was kind of moving him to the other side of the rim, and the air ball just happened to land in Kyle Anderson's hands, and Anderson just kind of reached out and put it up. It was pretty incredible.
I mean, it was fun. It was fun, but this is a Grizzlies team that with no Ja Morant again and no Dylan Brooks, just fun. You know, they fight constantly, and Jaren Jackson probably took a career high, I think, what was it, like 26 shots or something like that? Probably don't want him shooting that much in a game, but still, he got going. Tyus Jones with some big shots. I mean, this Grizzlies team's a lot of fun, but this was a big win for the Jazz. Jared, and we need to talk about that. All the bad vibes following around this team, like, they need to pull together as many wins as they can in this final stretch of the season and just kind of start to get feeling good about themselves again, and this was a good start.
Yeah, I mean, they won a game where Donovan Mitchell shot 6-for-24 and 1-for-9 from deep. That's really impressive. And this is coming after a pregame rant in which Quinn Snyder went off for like 15 minutes straight talking about the narratives that Donovan Mitchell doesn't fit with, or like, you know, the whole Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell thing, that the team's not clutch, all that stuff. They were pretty clutch in this game.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Okay, so let's take a look at the East play-in scenario. And this starts with Miami getting the win over Charlotte, 144-115, an absolute just slaughter in the fourth quarter. They were up 102-97 entering the fourth. They end up winning the game 144-115. That's pretty insane. Jimmy Buckets, he had 27 points and 8 dimes. Tyler Hero had 35 points on 11-for-18 shooting off the bench. The Hornets are now in 10th place. They're a game behind Atlanta, game behind Brooklyn. Brooklyn's an 8, Atlanta's a 9. So now you have the Cleveland-Brooklyn matchup there for that first play-in opportunity. Things are getting a little bit interesting here in the East as Brooklyn won their game. They beat the Rockets 118-105, which I didn't have to tell you because they played the Rockets, so you knew they won that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, first off, that Miami-Charlotte game. I turned away for a second, Jared, and it was a blowout. Like, what happened? You know, Charlotte just kind of fell apart. Also, Duncan Robinson with a monster night off the bench for the Heat. That's got to feel pretty good for them to see him knock down some shots. And then Kyrie going off in the Brooklyn game to really kind of ensure that victory. This is going to be a real fun, tight stretch here between these three teams, the Hawks, the Hornets, and the Nets, just going through it because we might not know who 8, 9, and 10 are going to be in the Eastern Conference till the last game of the season. It's that tight, and it's going to change constantly with how everything's going.
Yeah, that was a 42-18 fourth quarter for Miami over Charlotte. Brooklyn, you know, they're starting to get their rhythm back. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. It's not great, but you know, they're kind of floating here. But so right now we're lined up with a matchup of Cleveland and Brooklyn in that first playing game, and then Atlanta, Charlotte. How do you feel? I think we all agree that Brooklyn's probably going to win that first one, but who are you feeling between Cleveland, Atlanta, and Charlotte right now?
It's hard, really, because I don't think anybody's playing really well. I mean, the Hawks were playing pretty good and been on a good run, and then they blow the game tonight against Toronto. Trae Young coming out of a timeout with a terrible 3 shot selection there with a minute left. Like, I saw that one. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? But that's kind of what Trae Young does from time to time. And sometimes they go in and we go like, oh, that's awesome. When they don't, it really hurts the team. So the Hawks were rolling. I think I'll probably just go with the Hawks overall, despite this one loss, just because I think, you know what, they probably have the more well-rounded team out of everybody there. The Nets just can't get stops, Jared, and that's going to be something that concerns me pretty much the whole way through. I mean, you say they're going to beat Cleveland. I'm not 100% sure if Cleveland is a little bit healthy. If Cleveland's a little bit healthy, if Darius Garland's out there, I don't know if they're going to.
Yeah, Darius Garland versus Kyrie, that would be a lot of fun. But okay, so that we're not going to figure that one out for a while. We're not really going to figure out the top half of the ladder either, because so Miami, they're 2.5 up on everybody else. They're probably going to stay there. Hard to imagine that they don't hold first down. This game or this night finishes with Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly all tied at 2.5 games. It's that order now. Boston, Milwaukee, Philly. Milwaukee, they beat Chicago 127-106. So Chicago with Toronto winning, Chicago falls down to the sixth seed. They're now a game back of Toronto.
Jared, this is insane, right? Like, 2 through 4, and now they're all kind of positioning because now they're afraid of having to play Brooklyn possibly in the first round. You want an easier matchup, so you're kind of worried about that. We might see some shenanigans here down the stretch for teams that might want to say, hey, let's drop to 3. The Bulls look like probably the weakest team. I wouldn't want to be 4 and have to play Toronto at 5. Like, Toronto's long as hell, and they're playing really well right now. They've won 12 of their last 18 games. Like, it's a wild little race here. I think we're going to see some interesting shenanigans.
Yeah, the funny thing is the shenanigans can't really get shenanigized until that last day because everything is so tight. You don't even know which way you're shenanigizing if you don't wait until the last second.
Shenanigizing is a hell of a word there, Jared. You know what?
Oh, it's a real world.
You're a wordsmith.
Nah, I just make shit up. So, East is up in flames right now. The West has some semblance of dichotomy to it. Phoenix, obviously, first. Memphis, second by a mile. Then you have Golden State and Dallas separated by a game. It looks like Utah probably won't catch up. Then Denver is half a game behind Utah at this point. So we're going to have some movement in the last couple days. Who is the team that you're feeling like it doesn't really matter where they're positioned, that's kind of stuck in the middle of the morass of the standings?
Either conference?
Either conference.
I really don't think it matters for Milwaukee where they end up.
I like that one.
I still think they're one of the best teams, you know, even though they've taken a couple of a bad loss here and there. I think they're rolling into shape and about to flip the switch. I don't think it matters where they end up.
I mean, if they end up at 2 and Cleveland somehow wins that first game against Brooklyn and they get to face Cleveland in the first round, who has Moses Brown starting at the 5 for them right now, I think that things are going to be pretty easy, but they should be fine with whatever matchup.
Even if they play Brooklyn. Brooklyn can't stop these guys. This is the problem with the Nets, right? Like, they're just not able to get stops. And I just don't think that they're going to be able to find a way to stop Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's that simple.
All right. Well, this show's over. It's that simple. For our producer, Brian Smith, he's Mo Dekeel. I'm Jared Weiss. And we got a couple days left of NBA basketball for you.
Ding, ding. I totally forgot my line.